Welcome back to another edition of High School Football Podcast. I'm Braden Suprenant, joined by Jeff King, co-hosting our podcast today, as he does each and every week during this season, live on Spaces, which has been good. So hopefully a lot of you out there participating. We can get you to chime in. But without further ado, let me bring in Jeff. Jeff, what's going on? How's your Thursday night going?
Thanks, Braden. I'm good, man. Watching this Packer-Lion game looked like it was going to be a blowout and not worth watching. But, you know, the NFL goes, teams typically make a comeback. And, you know, those point spreads, man. So a lot of interest in some people. Not me, but just throwing it out there. But, yeah, entertaining game. But definitely excited to talk about the week that was in high school and the week that's coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, let's dive into last week in particular, and we had a lot of great games last week, obviously, and you know, some upsets mixed in as well. And I don't know if you could talk about last week without bringing up the fact that Modern Day Catholic had a big upset against St. Augustine. They won 23-14, knocked off the number 8 team in the county at the time, and that's a big win for John Joyner and company, especially with the schedule that they have had. And it's nice to get back to winning way. They've now won 2 in a row.
Yeah, definitely a big win for them. We talked about it earlier in the season, or a few weeks ago, how daunting their schedule was. I mean, basically, it was a carbon copy of the schedule they had last year, and they went 0-4 last year. That team won state. We, you know, pretty much admitted that this team talented, but unproven. So they definitely took their, you know, their shots and got beat pretty bad, pretty soundly against Lincoln, against Carlsbad, and they struggled. But like you said, the last 2 weeks, they've kind of right rode the ship, and a nice win. What was it, Point Loma, 2 weeks ago?
Who was? Yeah, Point Loma. Point Loma 2 weeks
and
ago.
And then obviously winning home against Saints was a big win for them, because now they go in league. You don't really expect them to get much opposition during the league. So it's going to be an opportunity. They're going to be able to kind of roll through the league. I expect them to roll through the league once again. I don't really see a team in the South Bay that's going to give them an opportunity or a challenge. So they're going to be in a similar position they were last year in terms of going into the playoffs with probably a pretty decent seed because of the strength of schedule. And they'll go in with probably a good winning streak. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how that translates into Division One, because I don't, they're too far out to get into the open division. But, you know, that team was uber talented last year, and not only talented, they were very experienced. And this team, talented, but not as experienced. So can they improve while playing these inferior teams? That's going to be the big key. And it's going to be interesting to see, because like I said, how well they develop by playing these teams is going to be interesting. But, you know, Coach Joyner, he's a very good coach. He's going to have them prepared. And I think, you know, they will be in a position to do possibly some damage. But yeah, big win for them, and I think they'll be able to carry that win into league play.
And it puts them back on track. I mean, you got to be, you know, in the top 8 of the Division I schools if you want to get a first round bye, whether it being in the open division or being in Division I. Modern Day currently sits at number 9, right behind La Costa Canyon, but they're only, you know, 2.5 points away, you know, from La Costa Canyon, who has a 23.8 power rating as of right now. And a lot of that, you know, has an impact on how other teams do and how some of the teams that, you know, they have played do as well. So the more Modern Day's opponents continue to win, Carlsbad, Lincoln, Cathedral, St. Augustine, Point Loma, the better chance that they have. So they're right there and probably going to get a favorable seed in Division One again, assuming they take care of business, and then hopefully they don't play anybody too close in league play, because, you know, we talked about it last week, Granite Hills and Helix, their league's going to hurt them a little bit in terms of their overall rating system. But as long as you take care of business, they should be kind of around the top 8 spot, which would be good for Modern Day in the Division One playoffs. Other games that really stood out, I got to apologize to Army Navy. I cursed them because as soon as I said that they're going to be really good and reckoned with, La Jolla Country Day destroyed them. They obviously used my information as bulletin board material. So my apologies to Army Navy on that one. La Jolla Country Day won 35-6. I saw that score when I was in Vegas and about ready to go to bed. And I've already had My guy, Brian Crusoe, who coaches at Lincoln, texted me when he listened to the podcast. He's like, man, you cursed Army-Navy. I'm like, I take full responsibility and totally ruining their season by saying how good they were. So my apologies to Army-Navy Academy.
Yeah, that's on you, man. That's not good. They were under the radar, dominating their opponents, and then there you go, putting them on the map. And
they hadn't given up a point all year, and then they give up 35 on Friday after I said they're really good.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's funny.
That's what they get. Other games, Mount Miguel bounces back after a loss. The Bishops last week, they beat Rancho Buena Vista 48-7. Granite Hills really had zero problem with Madison. They won 31-0. Granite seems to be one of those teams that's, I wouldn't say under the radar. I think they really showed that they're one of the best teams in the county. And, you know, they've thrown some haymakers early and they continue to roll right now, sitting at 5-0 and a big win, over Madison as they won 31-0. And so now under their cap, they got Mission Hills, who is ranked 5th in the county, according to Cal Preps. As a W under their belt, they beat St. Augustine, who's ranked 11th in the county, according to Cal Preps. And then Madison, who was in the top 10 last week, but now in the top 15 at number 12. Another big win for the Granite Hills Eagles. And, of course, they got that big game coming up with Helix in a couple of weeks. And that will be a huge game out in the East County as their two top four teams trying to battle for an open division playoff spot.
Yeah, looking at that game, and I want to get your take on it, Braden. We talked about obviously Carlsbad Lincoln, and now you got Helix 3, Granite Hills 4. I think it might be reverse. Do you think the loser of that is potentially knocked themselves out, or it will be a quality enough of a loss where even if they do lose, they still have opportunity? Because you mentioned that both teams have weak schedules after this game that they play. So, in essence, would it drop them down enough? Where whether it's El Camino or Mission Hills, the team would sneak in at that four spot, or do they still have an opportunity? How do you see that play out?
Well, if you look at their schedule, and again, this is, you know, in the last couple of years of the CIF rankings, I've been able to predict where everybody goes because it's a very simple formula, and I actually physically put it into a Excel spreadsheet with scenarios and wins losses. It actually helped me learn how to use Excel right in time for AI to take over, and now I could just tell AI to make it for me. But that being said, you know, Cal Prep is very difficult to predict just because there's so many factors. It has every team in the country in it. So, like, every once in a while, and I tell people this all the time, like, there might be a game that gets played in New Jersey that impacts Helix's ranking. And as dumb as that sounds, I mean, Helix could have played a team that played a team that played a team, you know, that played this team in New Jersey. And so their impact, like their win, changes the ratings of everybody else. So from that standpoint, it's very hard to predict. But I will say this. I mean, you know, for a lot of these schools, you know, Helix and Granite, like the loss, I think, would hurt them just because they are going to go down in general when they play all these other teams. Like, you know, Granite's got Santana and West Hills and Steel Canyon and Grossmont, and they don't play Helix until October 20th. But, you know, that loss, I think it will knock them out to a certain extent. Now, what I mean by to a certain extent, if you look at the overall rankings right now, Mission Hills is at number 5. So if, like, Granite is at number 5 and Mission Hills is 4, since Granite Hills beat Mission Hills and they're right next to each other, they flip-flop.
Yeah.
So the thing that Granite really needs to do, I mean, obviously besides from winning, is to be able to be one spot behind Mission Hills. So they hope Mission Hills keeps winning. And also they need the teams that they have beaten to also win. So they play two teams like in Saints and Madison who are going to have to play each other, as well as, you know, Cathedral and Lincoln mixed in there. So that they're all those teams are going to beat up on each other. So Granite will get some positive points out of that. But like, if you're Granite Hills, you really want Madison or Saints to win the Western League more than like Lincoln or Cathedral or University City for that matter, because, you know, you beat those two teams. And so it'll give you a little bit more of a boost. You know, they need Mission Hills to beat Carlsbad this weekend. Like, if Mission Hills beats Carlsbad this weekend, Granite's in great shape.
Yeah.
You know, they'll get a major boost to their overall rating.
Because
if Mission Hills loses to Carlsbad, they'll probably be okay. Yeah, because they beat Mission Hills, right? So,
yeah.
And the same thing goes with with these other schools, like especially schools that are out of town, like, you know, Helix really needs Red Mountain to start, you know, kicking ass in Arizona because they beat Red Mountain.
Yeah.
You know, so Red Mountain's 4-1 right now, has a 36.1 rating. I mean, if Red Mountain just starts to plummet, then Helix starts to plummet.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Edison. Like Edison being 2-3 doesn't help them too much, even though they're at 31.6. St. Francis at 2-2. I mean, they need those schools to beat better schools. So, you know, this formula that CalPreps does, I like way better than CIF because it really evaluates every team based on how good they are.
Yeah.
And not based on like where the record is in the division.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know you're as good as your record is, yada, yada, yada. This ain't the NFL where there's 32 teams and everybody's pretty even. You know, this is like so many factors throughout the country.
Yeah.
So I could see that game probably like the loser of that game. I would project that they're probably out. So, I mean, to me, that's a play-in game for the open division, you know, assuming everything else plays chalk, which is possible. But at the same time, I mean, like, you know, if all these other teams go into the tank, you know, they'll be okay. And maybe Helix and Grand Hills gets in. But I don't see a situation where they both get in.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that based on how the scenario you laid out. I mean, you look at the standings or look at the teams that are potentially can, you know, take advantage of that. You got Mission Hills, like we talked about, who would do themselves a big service if they knock off Carlsbad tomorrow. You got El Camino right there, and you got Cathedral and Madison, although Madison, you know, losing to Granite Hills, that was not a great loss for them. So there's still a scenario where both of those teams can get in, like you said, but it's not going to be easy. So, you know, I'm with you. That's going to be a huge game when it comes up. And in a sense, it could be a play-in or the winner of that game probably gets that third spot, assuming they went out.
And I really think, I mean, the disservice of this, obviously, is I think Granite Hills is definitely a open division team. I think Helix is an open division team. And honestly, the top four right now is probably how I'd rank the top four teams in San Diego.
Yep.
Carlsbad, Lincoln, Helix, and Granite Hills. And they probably all deserve to be in the open division. But again, Granite and Helix, the Grossmont Hills League being so down, aside from those two teams, is going to hurt them. You can say the same thing about Cathedral. Like, they're 1-5, right? You know, them losing the Liberty 41-7 will actually be better for their ratings than it is to beat University City. If Cathedral beats University City, like, they could beat them by like 100 points, which is probably not going to happen. Their rating is going to go down because of where University City's rating is. Like, if you look at the overall like rankings, you know, Liberty, who they just lost to in Henderson, Nevada, is the 58th best team in the country. So, and they're going to win. So, like, they got a boost. In fact, Cathedral last week on CalPreps was 8. They lost 41-7. They jumped to 7th. Which is like, which sounds dumb, but like, it definitely rewards playing top caliber teams. So all those San Diego teams that played out of town, they need those out of town teams to do extremely well. I mean, Helix is number 3 in the county according to CalPreps. That's 141 in the country. Some of these other schools, you know, like Lincoln and Carlsbad, I got to check the overall ranking. Where's Modern Day? They played both of those schools. Carlsbad's 51 in the country and Lincoln's 60th in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So if you beat one of those schools, you know, if you're in the Western League, you beat Lincoln, you're in really good shape. You're going to just jump mightily. So as much as it looks like Carlsbad, Lincoln, Helix, and Granite are the top four, I mean, if you get a team like, you know, Cathedral or Saints that or Madison that might beat a Lincoln, like let's say they beat one like Lincoln, all of a sudden they might be sitting at 5.
Yeah.
And they're on the doorstep of making the open division playoff where Helix and Granite could run through the thing and maybe only lose like to each other, and then all of a sudden they're out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely interesting, and there's a lot to be determined. So I think it's an interesting conversation moving forward and seeing how it all plays out. One quick thing before you want to move on to something, but and I just kind of laughed at this because obviously Lincoln kicked the you know what out of Inglewood, but what, 56-6, And apparently there was some stuff going on with Inglewood at the beginning of the game or before the game, what they're stomping on the 50-yard line and Lincoln and things.
They brought a flag out there. They brought, like, their flag. They tried to, like, plant the flag pregame. Are you out of your mind?
And that's what I'm saying. Because then they played last year in the playoffs and Lincoln beat them.
I don't know if they played Inglewood. Well,
I can't remember. Well, anyways.
Well, Inglewood. So, like, the story on Inglewood is they were really good last year. Mm-hmm. Was it last year or 2 years ago? They were super good. You know, they went out and I'd have to, like, check their overall deal, but I'm pretty sure it was, like, was it last year or 2 years ago? They had their quarterback was going to UCLA. They're like 14-0. They're just legit. And then, you know, they played Carlsbad and they lost. I mean, if you look at the Inglewood team right now, they're not what they were. I mean, it's still good. It's a great win for Lincoln out of town. So don't take it like I'm saying it's anything different. But, like, for Inglewood to be the team that they are, to talk all this shit and then, like, go out in the field and, like, try to stomp on the Hornet and then, like, plant a flag was, like, the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Why would you want to – why would you want to incite any type of issue with a team that's expected to kick your ass and give them any extra motivation to destroy
you? That's my point. I don't get it. That was my point. And so I was getting at it. Just, you got your butt kicked by Carlsbad. You know Lincoln's a formal team. Like I said – it'd be one thing if you came in there, big bad wolf, and, you know, in favor of the win. I still wouldn't be approved of it, but at least you could back it up. But the fact that you're on enemy turf and going to excited team that's already pumped up, they know they need to keep up with Carlsbad and absolutely just give them more fuel to the fire. You made their job easy. You made their coaching really easy as far as motivate them as far as before the game. You did it for them. And so I don't get. I hope they got their butts chewed out by their coaching staff. And maybe the coaching staff fueled. I don't know. I hope not, because that's just a terrible example way to go about things. But if he didn't, which I hope he didn't, I hope it was a lesson served, because they got embarrassed, and rightfully so, because they wanted to start something and they definitely couldn't back it up. So I thought that was pretty interesting. When I saw that pregame stuff, I'm like, yeah, this is not going to be good for Inglewood.
Yeah, I mean, Inglewood, like, they lost to Carlsbad 30-6. They played an 0-5 Dorsey team and beat them 44-6. They went up to Spokane, Washington, and played Gonzaga Prep. I mean, come on. You know, they played them in Moore Park. I guess they played them at home, but they won that game, and then they beat Lawndale, who's, you know, they got 11.2 rating. It's no, like, world beater of a team. And then they go and they play this, you know, they play 5-0 Lincoln. And they do all this stuff before the game, and they get their ass handed to them. I mean, I don't understand it. And Cajon did the same thing. I saw it was.
Did they?
It was posted by Lincoln's defensive coordinator, who I see on Twitter all the time. He had, like, he was posting, like, receipts about the Cajon players that were, like, DMing him, and they were, like, DMing him this, like, insane shit, like, just about, like, how they're gonna kill him and all this other stuff. And, like, I was like, what are they doing? Like, why would you do that? And then Lincoln went out, let me look at their score. They destroyed them. They destroyed Cajon. They beat them, like, 34-0.
Wow.
I don't get it. I will say this, I do think there's, like, and I knew this, like, going out of town, you got to play out of town. I mean, just in general, San Diego gets zero respect. And we really get zero respect. And, like, you know, regardless if it's warranted or not with the way we do against the Southern section. And I'm not sitting here saying the San Diego section is the best section in California, because it's not. The Southern section at the top is way better than we are. And anybody that's listening that disagrees with that, it's, you know, you'll be in for an eye opener when you play the top teams in the Southern section. But it's like, everybody in the Southern section, including, like, lower level teams that aren't very good, like, they have this stigma about San Diego and they don't respect us. And then they think they're just like, we're playing a San Diego team, we're going to kick their ass. I mean, and it's just so ridiculous every time we have to play these teams from out of town. They just think they're so great. And, you know, so far the teams from out of town from the Southern section, I think they can go down and beat up on Lincoln, have gotten their ass handed to them. I mean, Lincoln beat Alamany 58-6. They beat St. Bonaventure 49-12. They beat Cajon 34-0, and they beat Inglewood 56-6. I mean, like, when are they going to learn? I mean, you know who's not doing that? Maybe they are. I don't know. I've never had to play them. I don't see St. John Bosco and Modern Day doing that, but you know, maybe they do.
And the thing is, they can though, you know.
That's the thing.
Yet they choose not to because it's, I don't know, it's just about respecting your opponent. I get it, you know, especially if it's a rivalry game. I'm not saying this is a rivalry game, but, you know, when tensions are, you know, people talking trash, social media, all that stuff now, yeah, add that element. But at the end of the day, you got to go out there and prove it on the field. And to do all those shenanigans, you know, especially before, maybe after, let's say they beat Lincoln. Okay, like, I wouldn't probably approve of it, but okay, you beat them, so you have the ability to brag, like, hey, we just beat you. But to do it before, it's just teams just don't learn and they're knuckleheads. That's what I chalk it up to be.
Well, it's also like it happens in college. It's funny. It's a funny topic. You know, West Virginia, you know, opened up the season with Penn State and they were like 21-point dogs or whatever. And at the Big 12 media days, their head coach was like, he said in a public forum, we're going to beat Penn State by 14 points. We're going to beat them by two touchdowns. And I immediately was like, you know, as a motivator standpoint, like telling your team, I think we could beat these guys by 14 points. All for it. So be it. Like, I think that's great. I think, you know, what you tell your kids that you're coaching and what you tell the public need to be two totally different things. Like, I never go into a game thinking I'm going to lose, regardless of who we're playing. And you got to like kind of have that confidence and be able to tell your players, like, hey, we're going to kick this team's ass. Like, I don't really care who they are. But that being said, it's like, why would you poke the bear in the public eye? Like, West Virginia's like, we're going to beat this team by 14 points. Penn State, who probably has zero like reason to get extra fired up about West Virginia, is sitting there going like, all right, these guys want to go full speed. Let's go. You know, like, and now all of a sudden they're gunning for you instead of you trying to catch them off guard and hope they overlook you. Why would you put a target on your back when you don't need to?
Exactly. Yeah, it's
fun. That very interesting.
The psychology of it is I find fascinating for sure.
Other important games from last week. The one I wanted to point out, there's a couple. Your Eastlake Titans got a W in Indiana.
Oh, yes.
They beat Hammond Central 27-21. Yeah, they're on the board.
I don't know much about Hammond, but all I know is that we got a one in the W column. So nothing but up here from the Titans. No, they've had a
lot. I just remember that you and I last week said they were going to win because of who they were going to play, and they got it. Took care of business. Beat Hammond Central 27-21 in Indiana.
We'll take it, man. We'll take it. I'll take it. So being alone, I'm happy that they finally got the first win in the season. So good stuff. Good stuff by my Titans. The real Titans.
That's right.
You heard that.
That's right. A lot better than the Tennessee Titans, I tell you that.
There you go.
El Camino over Oceanside 49-8. And a big rivalry game there, which I don't think they're not in the same league this year. So it's good that they continue to play the rivalry game. I'm all in favor of playing rivalry games. I mean, you know, in college, they're starting to go away, which kind of sucks. But, you know, if you're not in the same league, you know, play in non-conference to preserve rivalry games, I think is very good. So Oceanside, El Camino. El Camino with a huge win. You know, and I mean huge. I mean, they dismantled Oceanside, and you know, they've won four straight. I mean, they're sitting there at 4-1. Their one loss is to, you know, Mission Viejo, who's a really good team out of the southern section with a 46.6 rating. And El Camino's right there, you know, in the top 10, looking at number six. I mean, they're two spots out of an open division playoff spot. And if they could do some damage in the Avocado League, beat a Mission Hills, you know. Maybe they probably wouldn't even have to beat Carlsbad, just kind of be close. They're going to be right there knocking on the door.
Yeah, they've been pretty impressive the last few weeks. They haven't had really a close game. So looking forward to see how that plays out. Like you said, they're kind of in that next category of teams that could potentially jump in, you know, if a Granite Hills or Helix loses. So they'll have opportunities. Like you said, they got Mission Hills and they got Carlsbad. So if they can, obviously, if they win both of those games, they will put themselves in great position.
But, they'll be in. For sure.
But even like you said, if they win Mission Hills, that they'll have a solid opportunity to get in that open division slot.
that's about the tail end of some of the big games I wanted to talk about last week. We'll get to our top 10, and then I kind of want to talk about one discussion topic, and then kind of preview some of these leagues as they get underway. Avocado League's a little bit bigger than everybody else, so they I think they've already started, if I'm not mistaken. They're about to start as well, because they usually have to play a couple extra games. But for the most part, all of league play starts this week. My top 10 this week, I'm going to remember what I sent John Massey for the media thing. I don't want to do it off the top of my head.
While you do that, real quick, I went on the Max Preps, and obviously this was a typo, because they didn't have Lincoln in the top 10. Like, and obviously it's terrible typo, but they had Lincoln unranked. Now, they might have changed that, but when I checked 3 hours ago, literally Lincoln was not in the top 10. It was the strangest thing, and I don't know if like I said, obviously it's a mistake, but they did not have them in the top 10. So I thought that was weird. So it kind of threw off the rankings, obviously, because you don't even have Lincoln in the top 10 at all, but I basically kind of slotted them after Carlsbad and kind of figured it out from last week, but I just thought that was pretty strange that they weren't even ranked.
So gotta go to CalPreps, my guy.
Yeah, someone
CalPreps.
Someone messed up.
Okay, CalPreps.com. It's the best website ever if you're into high school football. I'm going to look at the Max Preps rankings right now. So again, the Max Preps takes the Freeman rankings from CalPreps. Ned Freeman's the one that came up with CalPreps.com. If you're unfamiliar with CalPreps, I highly recommend you jump on the website. That gives all the information to Max Preps. Max Preps is, you know, a little bit more interactive, but Cal Preps, that's what's got all the info. That's what updates before Max Preps rankings does. If you ever want to see where your school is at, that's going to be determining for the playoffs. You go to calpreps.com. As what I want to say about Max Preps, I pulled up like the, rankings for California high school football. They go 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, 9, 12, 13. They're missing tons of teams. Like even the rankings, like Max Preps, because you were talking about it, right? So I will pull it up. So they go like the top teams in the state of California: Modern Day, St. John Bosco, Sierra Canyon, Centennial, Santa Margarita, Carlsbad. It says next to it, they have the rankings. It's like number 1, 2, 3, 4, 8, Santa Margarita, 9, Carlsbad, 12, Clovis North, 13, De La Salle, 14, Oaks Christian, 15, Helix. So they're like missing schools. They just kind of disappeared, I guess. So again, another reason why you should look at Cal Preps over Max Preps. The other website that I talked to you about it last week was Partleton Sports.
Yep.
Remember we brought it up because Del Norte beat Poway for the first time in school history.
Yes.
Right. So, and the way you could check that is you go to Rick Smith's Partleton Sports website. So it's partletonsports.com, PartletonSports.com. And if you go on there, they'll pull up some tabs. They'll have a football tab and it'll say scores by year by team. You can go up by team and you could basically find any, you could find every single season that that school played in and what the scores were to every single game that they have played. So if you want to check out and see, you know, let's just take it Helix, for example. You could pull up the Helix thing. They'll have every single score that's on there. At updates, including this year, they already have the Cathedral game on there. And you could see year by year what the scores were for all their games, who their record was, who their coach was, what their enrollment was that year, and what division they were in, as well as their league, which is really cool. So it's a great history website. Rick Smith came up with it, if I'm not mistaken. He lives in the Scripture Ranch area. There's Rick Smith. He worked for the Chargers for a long period of time as a PR guy, and he actually called into the show this week to talk about this. I think it was Monday, was the anniversary of the PSA plane crash that happened in San Diego, the one where the PSA plane was landing at going into Lindbergh Field. A Cessna hit it and it took it down right over the North Park area. And so he kind of, told a story about that with Rick Schloss, who worked under him. But long time, Rick Smith was a PR guy in the National Football League for a long period of time. He set up this website You know, as a San Diegan, it's really cool. They got tons of information on there. They got other sports on there as well. And they actually just added a flag football element too. So for the girls flag football, if you go on there, they will have everybody's schedule on there and who they have played and what their records are and who they have beaten. So those are all on there as well, which is kind of cool. So I'm glad he added the girls flag football. But those are the two main websites I recommend you go guys check out. CalPreps.com if you want to know what your ranking is. You can also compare your teams against other schools around the country if you want to just like, you know, they do score predictions. So you could put in like Carlsbad versus, you know, Don Bosco Prep in New Jersey. Like, what would the score be based on Cal Preps? And they're usually pretty accurate. And you can kind of predict some scores. You could also compare teams from different years, Jeff. So, you know, I could compare my senior year 2012, you know, to my brother's team in 2015, 2016, or whatever it was. No, actually, it was probably 2017. You can compare the two Cathedral teams, but like, if you want to know, you know, whether or not Marcus Allen's Lincoln's team was better than Ricky Williams' Patrick Henry team, like, it's kind of a fun little simulator you can do. So also something to check out at calpreps.com. So if everybody listening to the podcast or on Spaces, those are some cool things to go check out.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So I guess I think we're ready to talk about. Oh, well, you didn't go over your top 10, did you?
No, I pulled up my top 10. My top 10 for week six, you know, based on Lincoln being 6-0 now and they're playing a little bit more difficult of a schedule. Schedule strength, according to CalPreps, is 21.5 compared to Carlsbad's 15.4. They're only 0.9 points away from each other on calpreps.com in terms of overall rating. So to me, Carlsbad, Lincoln, kind of the 1-2, regardless of how you skin it. I went with Lincoln this week after another big performance, obviously beating down Inglewood. Plus they beat him 56-6 in comparison to Carlsbad's 30-6. Not that it matters, right? It doesn't really matter, but I'm going Lincoln this week at number one at 6-0. I had Carlsbad at number two. I think that's pretty unanimous for most people. If you got Lincoln one, you got Carlsbad two. If you got Carlsbad one, you got Lincoln two. Then I got Helix. Then I got Granite, Mission Hills, El Camino, La Costa Canyon, Madison, Cathedral, and Modern Day rounds up my top 10. Modern Day on a 2-game winning streak with their strength of schedule. I think they should get rewarded for that. I put them at number 10. Same thing with Cathedral with their schedule that they played. Put them at number 9. So Lincoln, Carlsbad, Helix, Granite, Mission Hills, El Camino, LCC, Madison, Cathedral, Modern Day.
Complete agreement there, man. Actually, speaking of Helix, just looked at the score. They're up 34-0 on West Hills. I believe it's at halftime. So they're making quick work of from the team West Hills, which
not to no surprise of anybody.
Yeah, no surprise there. So again, they're probably going to roll until they have their big matchup against Granite Hills in 2 or 3 weeks, which we'll definitely look forward to that. But I agree with you on 1 and 2, man. It's Lincoln, Carlsbad, Carlsbad, Lincoln. I mean, honestly, you can flip flop it each and every week. I know beginning of the season we had Carlsbad, but you know, I'm not mad at you for saying Lincoln. They've been super dominant in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, both of them will have some tests coming up in the next few weeks. So we'll see how impressive either of them will look. But I think it's safe to say that they have established themselves as the two best teams in the county thus far in the season.
They play on the Smurf turf, or are they out in Bagpipe land?
Looks like it's on the Smurf turf there, bro.
They're on the Smurf turf, the blue turf. Yeah. I like the West Hills blue turf.
Yeah.
Although we played Chaminade this year and they had blue turf. It was kind of odd. Super odd
because of the color, or just
it's just weird, like being on blue turf, you know. It's just kind of, I don't know, it's just weird.
Yeah,
I mean, I've never have you ever been on blue turf before?
I cannot say I have.
Yeah, it was like we showed up there, I'm like, oh, they got blue turf. It was just, I don't know, it just felt a little different with the blue turf. It's better than like Eastern Washington, they got like red turf. That looks ridiculous.
Yes.
The red turf.
Yeah, Matt, certain friend Matt Perez loves that red turf, though. By the way,
Palouse area, Eastern Washington.
Yeah,
but he doesn't like the blue turf at Boise State. No. I like West Hills blue turf the best because it's like light blue and then dark blue.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty money. It's a pretty money look. The one topic I wanted to talk about, I actually sent it to you last week. I found it very interesting. something that Deion said.
Oh, the portal.
About the portal, right? It's an interesting tweet here, and I'm going to pull it up right now. Or I'm going to try to without disrupting the spaces. I don't know if I can do that. Maybe I can pull it up on my laptop. But it was something to do with the portal, obviously, and it was I'm gonna pull it up on my laptop right now. Oh wait, wrong link. Give me a second. There it is. This is what Deion said. This comes from a tweet from Chris Four, who's well respected in the high school football realm. If Colorado is only bringing in 4 to 5 high school kids instead of 20 to 25. And 50 other schools do the same thing. Is there even a large number in the portal in 2 years? Interesting to see how it goes. And the original tweet was about, you know, recruiting. So, you know, Colorado's going to live with a lot of transfer kids, and then only 4 to 5 high school kids they're going to offer is what it sounds like their plan is. I think that really opens up an opportunity to play junior college ball and obviously other spots, but you know, to me at this point, if you are a high school football player, you know, those D1 schools, those Power 5 schools might be very hard to get to. It's like you might as well go to some of these other schools that will give you an opportunity to play, get some tape, and then you can transfer out based on the transfer portal.
Now, do you think Colorado, and I understand why, because they had a lot of turnover based on how bad they were, but let's assume Deion stays there for a 3 to 5 years and whatnot. Do you think that's going to be his thing every year? Is just to attack the transfer portal, or do you think eventually he's going to settle in and get, you know, high schoolers? And if that's the case, do you see, especially if he's successful, do you see other schools? I mean, schools are already doing it, but obviously not to that degree that Deion is. But let's just say he's successful in Colorado, let's say win 6 games this year and then 10 the following year. Will you see more coaches kind of follow suit?
With transfer portal over recruiting high school kids?
Yes.
I think it's a very interesting thing because if you're a college program, right, you know, most of these kids, a lot of these kids are transferring anyway. And, you know, if you have an opportunity to play somewhere, why wouldn't you go play at the place that you have an opportunity to play at instead of sitting the bench? So to me, it's like, unless you could get, you know, a 5-star high school player that's just like a freaking stud, right? The guy that's going to be an impact player for you in college, out of high school, 5-star guy, you know, why wouldn't you rather have a guy that's a little bit older, that's already played college football, that kind of knows how the system works and how everything works and has experience playing D1 football that's looking to transfer? Wouldn't you rather add one of those pieces than add a high school kid that's never done it before?
I'm with you on that. I agree with you. It takes away the ability or the energy of trying to have to develop these kids or just even get them acclimated to the college scene, right? I think that's a big part of, you know, becoming a college player is just getting acclimated to the culture and what's expected from a college player. So I'm totally with you on that. If you have the opportunity of getting a similar player who has a little more experience and kind of more seasoned, you definitely would kind of go to that route. But you know, I know it's college football, so the turnover is there. But the fear is the turnover going to be higher, which makes it more challenging for you to have a consistent program?
Well, to me, it's like I think it's going to be very difficult. I think most colleges now have to recruit their own players. And here's the other thing too. I think it depends on the school. Like if you're Alabama, right, or Georgia, or some of these big time schools that usually do really well year in and year out, you might have like the luxury where kids are going to stay there and you can have kids learn how to develop as freshmen and then they stay and then you turn them into varsity players. You turn them into starters at a high level and then you add a couple of pieces in the transfer portal and you run with it that way. But if you're like, to me, if you're like San Diego State, I'm going to use San Diego State as an example because you know, it's already tough sledding to try to, you know, out recruit a USC or out recruit a Pac-12 school or, you know, whatever conference they're going to be in now with some of these other schools these Power Five schools. Because, you know, if you get an offer from a Power Five school, you got from a Group of Five school, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, you know, these kids will go to the Power Five school. And so you get some of these kids, right? And let's say you get a really good recruit and he has a really good year. And then he enters the transfer portal and he ends up using that year to go to a better school. Now, all of a sudden, you're the farm system for the big schools that are just going to pluck all these guys away from you. So why would you invest a lot of time in multiple high school players that you know that might actually leave and go play for somebody else? It's almost like when San Diego State in baseball, when San Diego State had Tony Gwynn as their head coach, right? His recruiting was unbelievable. He was getting all the best players in Southern California year in and year out. But the problem was all the guys that he was signing were getting drafted. There were first round, second round draft picks. They were going to go to they weren't going to college. You know, so then all of a sudden the draft happens and then they're out like all these guys and then they're not getting any better. So if you're like San Diego State, it's almost more beneficial instead of like trying to develop some of these players at a high school to, you know, that won't be ready for you in the first year and they'll probably transfer in the next couple of years. So you basically are just developing them for the SECs of the world.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better for you to just pick up pieces in the transfer portal where you get some guys that were developed by these, you know, premier programs? Not to say that those programs coach better than the local programs or the smaller programs, but you know, the ones that are, you know, competing at a high level that, you know, have guys that aren't playing that go, you know what, I'm going to use the transfer portal. I'm going to go to a place that I can play at. Like, you know, I got the offer from Alabama. This was cool and everything, but I want to go play. You know, to me, I think that's a better level of success. So I think it's going to be very difficult for some of these high school kids to land major D1 scholarships unless they're a freak, which most of the time they usually are. And so it might be more beneficial to take a D2 spot. It might be more beneficial to go to a JC and dominate and then go after that. Or maybe you go to a Group of Five school and you show some tape and then you could transfer to a big school. But I could see a lot of these Power Five schools spending a lot of their resources on the free agent market, which would be the transfer portal, especially with NIL.
That's the key to NIL and the Power Five schools being able to attract athletes because of that. And so I think I agree with you in that standpoint. It is a enticing for big schools such as Alabama and Texas to go that route because you know you'll be able to entice those athletes, college athletes, after being a few years in school and wanting to transfer, that they'll have the ability to go to a school like that and, you know, with the NIL deal, you know, put themselves in a good position to not only play at a big time school, but get those, get that money from endorsements.
We should almost be done with most of the COVID kids, right? That really just backloaded everything because all these kids have all these extra years, right?
Yes.
Which also hurts the high school kids because those kids got to go somewhere and they're not going to the draft, right? They're, you know, the ones that are using their COVID years are most likely not going to play professional football. So you got, you know, and that's why I think there's like so much parity in college football right now. But, you know, to me, with the way you look at the landscape, and we talked about the transfer portal and NIL, and you could play four games without and still use a red shirt. And I think with NIL in particular, you know, there are a lot of players that make enough money in NIL where it's better to just stay in college than it would be to go to the National Football League unless you're a first round draft pick. I mean, like, you know, Washington State's off to a great start, right, to the season. They're 4-0. You know, they got Cam Ward as their quarterback. He could come back one more time. And he's got one more year left. He's probably not an NFL quarterback. But, you know, Washington State gave him a nice little paycheck to go play there in the first place. You're a guy like Cam Ward, why wouldn't you go back to a place like that? You know, you're the quarterback in a college town, so you're probably going to get the most money out of everything. You'd probably make more money just staying there in college instead of, like, trying to just see if you can make the National Football League. You know, why not stay? Like, you look at Max Duggan of TCU. He had one more year of eligibility left, and he wanted to go to the NFL, and, you know, that's fine, and Danny and stuff like that. I don't think he's an NFL-style quarterback. You know, I know he'll get paid a decent amount of money to be a backup in Los Angeles for the Chargers, But like, wouldn't you think like that guy would get more money playing college football as an NIL deal? Like, wouldn't you want to come back and have one more year of NIL? I mean, obviously these kids really want to just live the dream out and go to the NFL. They totally can. But, you know, I could see a lot of kids just being like, you know what? I could stay in college. Like Caleb Williams, Jeff, look at Caleb Williams. You know, his dad's already said if the number one team ain't the team they want to go to, he's going back to college because he can make money at USC. And he could almost handpick who he gets drafted by.
Yeah, it's a very interesting situation. And, you know, now with that, there's that element that you don't have to rush to go to the pros. Before NIL was there, you had this urgency, right? Because you didn't want to get hurt and miss out opportunity making millions and millions of dollars. But now your ability to earn income while playing football, especially at the college level, why not take advantage of that and use that to your advantage and basically kind of milk it till it's dry, so to speak, so you have to go. So I'm with you on that. It'll be interesting to see moving forward if we see more high profile athletes stay an extra year or two rather than go early to the NFL or even an NBA or whatever sport you want to talk about, just because of the financial gains that they have and opportunities they have in college.
The other thing I wanted to talk about with that, I find it very interesting. In the state of California, it is legal. Like NIL deals are legal for high school kids. When do you think we're gonna start seeing that come about, or is that just too crazy? But I thought the same thing about colleges and all these other things, and it's said to happen. I mean, there's nothing stopping, and it's not just private schools. There's nothing stopping public schools from getting, you know, some local place to give money on NIL deals and convince kids to go to certain schools. I don't think that's happening yet, but you think it's only a matter of time, Jeff?
Typically, things trickle down. You know, we talk about, you know, NFL is big business, right? And it has been and is currently. And now it's trickled down to college. What's college now? Big business. And I'm afraid to say it, but yes, I think with the major schools, high schools, especially with football, because how popular football is, you're going to see that trickle down to the high school level. And that's entering a slippery slope just because of the kids and their minors and things of that nature. So I don't know how that's going to be regulated and what issues that will occur from that or come from that. But would I be shocked if that happens? No, definitely not. Just because of how big football is here in America. And like I said, just copying the model what's happened from the NFL now to college. Yes, I can see a trickle-down effect to happen in high school. I mean, look at Texas. I mean, you know all about Texas, how important football is in Texas and how much, you know, alumni and you know, school boards really are invested in these schools being good and bringing in titles. But I definitely can see it in certain areas of the country where that will be implemented.
Yeah, it'd be nuts. You can literally go to any high school you want nowadays with all the rules. I mean, there's nothing keeping kids from – you could literally go to whatever high school you want. And be able to play there now, which is cool. I think you should be allowed to go whatever school you want to go to. But, you know, you add the money element into it too. And, you know, it trickles down. The last thing we need to see is like Pop Warner organizations paying for kids. It'd be ridiculous.
Hey, don't put it past us, man. You know how we are in our sports.
Like, yeah, man.
I don't want to think that, but that could be a possibility. But hopefully not. I mean, I think we have enough smart people in this field that will not allow that to happen, but you know, it's
you know, pay some money for little Gronk to play for the SD Bolts.
Oh, please don't give people ideas. That'd be a whole issue in our society. But no,
new level.
Certain high schools, yeah, I could see that jumping off.
Let's talk about this week. We got league play starting up. I don't think we have too many non-league games left. There's only three non-league games this week. Everybody else is in league play. I kind of want to go through some of these leagues, Jeff, and you can tell me who you think is most likely going to win the league. I'll do it with you with some of the main leagues here. We'll start with the Avocado League, Jeff. The Avocado League, one of the best leagues in San Diego, coming to the North County. Carlsbad, La Costa Canyon, El Camino, Mission Hills, Poway, and Torrey Pines. Who's your favorite to win that league? Who do you think could upset Carlsbad?
Well, you just mentioned them. Carlsbad, they have to be the favorite. I mean, they are the best team in the county along with Lincoln. So until I'm proven otherwise, and I think you have to go with them. They won it last year, and they basically bring all their main studs back for this year, including Sane. So I don't really expect anything to be different. If there's one team that could possibly beat them, I would say potentially El Camino. But outside of that, I just don't give anybody too much of a chance. I mean, they're gonna have some tough games, even the one tomorrow against Mission Hills because it's on the road. But assuming they get by them tomorrow, I think they'll be in a good position to take home another avocado title.
If you talk to Carlsbad people, they say Mission Hills gives them a lot of problems. If you look at the kind of recent history of Mission Hills. I'd say they have their number, but they're usually competing very well against Carlsbad. Last year, they lost 16-10 to Carlsbad. 2021, they lost 13-7 to Carlsbad. 2019, they lost 17-7 to Carlsbad. 2018, they beat Carlsbad 24-21. And in 2017, Mission Hills beat Carlsbad 35-7. It's going to one more year, 2016, 12-7. The recurring theme there, Jeff, between Carlsbad and Mission Hills, dating back to 2016, because that was the before they stopped, when they renewed playing each other again, because they didn't play each other in 2015. All those games have been very close. Very close. I mean, last year, Carlsbad opened the division, final team. They beat Mission Hills 16-10. And then the year before that, Carlsbad again, really good year, went to the Open Division Championship. They've gone to the Open Division Championship the last 2 years. And in 2021, they only beat Mission Hills by 6. So I could see that game being kind of close. And I really think Mission Hills has a good opportunity to do it. Now, if Carlsbad blows them out on Friday, that might be the best chance anybody's got at maybe taking down Carlsbad. And I like that El Camino pick as well.
Yeah, looking forward to see how Mission Hills, if they can rise up and finally get a win under the belt against Carlsbad. You just mentioned they've been close, really close the last few years. So can they finally get that upset victory at home tomorrow?
I want to move on to the Eastern League, second highest league in the City Conference. Christian, La Jolla, Point Loma, Mira Mesa, and Morse. La Jolla's got the best rating out of the group at a 5.8, followed by Mira Mesa at 4. Point Loma with a 1.4 rating. I really like La Jolla to win this conference, and I think Point Loma's got a really good shot as well.
I'm going to go with the Vikings. You know, they've been pretty solid all year. A couple of years ago, two or three years ago, they won their division. What was it, Division II, if I'm not mistaken. So they've had a solid program for the last handful of seasons. I will go with the Vikings to take home that crown.
Let's go out to East County, the top league in the East County is Grossmont Hills League. They'll start action this weekend. As we already mentioned, they actually started today, with Helix playing West Hills. Now, this league, Jeff, has been four teams the last 3 or 4 years, and all of a sudden, or at least in the Grossmont Conference, where you have two different leagues, one league had four teams, the other league, I think, had like seven teams or something ridiculous. And the Grossmont Hills League was having some trouble finding some football games because they had to schedule seven non-league games. I mean, that's tough to put together. So they made a compromise. They added a couple teams to the league. They added Santana West Hills, the two Santee schools. And Helix already got, it looks like they're in control of game one. They were projected to win 62-0, according to Cal Preps. They're almost well on their way to accomplishing that. Top team, according to rating, Helix at 48.7, followed by Granite Hills at 41.4. I think it's a toss-up between the two. I'd have to go with Tradition and the Highlanders. Is there anybody else that might be able to upset the apple cart on the top two teams in that league?
One word answer, no.
I don't think so either.
It's a two-team race, and pretty much that game between Grand Hills and Helix is going to determine a lot. Going to determine, I think, the league winner is also going to determine a spot for the Open Division playoffs. So I, at this moment, I give a slight edge to Helix, but won't be surprised when Granite Hills is able to pull off the win. Do you know where that game is at in, by any chance? Is
it the Granite Helix game?
Yeah.
Off the top you'll of be you'll be hearing some bagpipes out in La Mesa.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's going to be must-see TV, man.
Actually, I lied. That looks like the Granite schedule. That is, that will be in El Cajon. It'll be at Granite Hills High School. So Granite's got the home game there. Games this weekend in the Grossmont Hills League. Helix is at West Hills. That is currently a blowout. Granite's at Santana tomorrow, and Grossmont's at Steel Canyon. Granite's expected to win 48-0, and Steel Canyon's expected to beat Grossmont 44-21. If I had to pick a school that could like hang tough, it'd be Steel, but Steel's kind of down this year, so it might be tough sledding for them. Other league I wanted to talk about, let's get to the Metro League. That'd be the Metro Mesa League. They're not in action this weekend. Everybody's got their bye in the Metro Mesa League. That would be Modern Day Catholic and Bonita Vista, Otay Ranch, and Eastlake, the top league down in the South Bay. Number one team in there is Modern Day. Number two team is the Eastlake Titans. I would imagine you would pick Modern Day to win this league. Do you think Eastlake could upset Modern Day at all?
Much as I want to say yes and be a bias and a homer and a proud alumni, my Titans, no. They have not shown me anything this year, what I've heard, what I've seen, that will give me any confidence that they can go and beat Modern Day. I don't care if it's at Eastlake. I don't care if it's at Modern Day. They're just, I don't think they have the horses. So even though Modern Day lost a lot last year, you know, we've chronicled that multiple times over the course of the podcast, they still got a lot of talent, and I think they'll have enough talent to win that league fairly easily. I mean, and you know, you never know what things could happen, but I think at the end of the day, they will roll through the Metro League and win another title.
I think so too. They're going to run the table. I mean, they're favored mightily in their next four games. The only team that's close to them is Eastlake with a 4.3 rating. They're going to run the table and be 6-3. They're only playing nine games this year on the season. So really tough non-league schedule. Start, you know, went 2-3 during that, which I think is very impressive. They went 1-2 against the Western League. They went 0-1 against the Avocado League, and then they went 1-0 against the Eastern League. But I think they'll probably finish the season 6-3, and they'll be right there looking at a first round bye potentially in Division One based on the way they scheduled their opponents this year. So hats off to John Joyner and company down at Modern Day. Palomar League, which is always an interesting league up in the North County, is the number two league in the North County, and there's a lot of interesting teams in this league because they did the reshuffle. Poway is no longer part of the Palomar League. We mentioned them in the Avocado League. They got bumped up. A couple of teams from the Avocado League got bumped down. One to this league in San Marcos. So they're down into the Palomar League. But Del Norte, Fallbrook, Rancho Bernardo, San Marcos, Mount Carmel, and Ramona. Call this league the NFL League. Jeff, you got so many former NFL players that are coaching teams in this league.
Yeah, that's brings a lot of excitement having all those teams or all those former coaches or, excuse me, former NFL players now coaches. So excited. We have a big game tomorrow. Isn't it Del Norte and Rancho play tomorrow?
Rancho Bernardo is at Del Norte, correct?
Yeah, so you got Weddle versus Barnett. Who do you like in that one? I'm going to say Del Norte. They're at home. I feel they get a slight edge and win that game.
I like Del Norte too. They're favored to win 21-13. I think they're a little bit better than Rancho Bernardo. But again, to talk about this league, Del Norte's head coach Nick Barnett played in the NFL. Rancho Bernardo's head coach Eric Weddle, of course, we know played in the NFL. Mount Carmel's head coach Drew Westling, quarterback at San Diego State. And then Ramona's head coach, remember, Damon Baldwin played in the National Football League as well for a little bit, also played at San Diego State. Got a lot of experience on this in this league when it comes to coaches, and
That's not even to mention the Coach Carroll at San Marcos, which is a well-run program right now, as he tries to transition San Marcos back to what they were a couple of years ago. So very, very good league. Del Norte right now is the favorite at 21.1 as their CalPreps rating, followed by San Marcos at 9.6. I think Del Norte wins this league, but this opening game is going to be a tough one for them against Rancho Bernardo. I think Eric Weddle and company is going to give them everything they got.
Sounds like it's going to be a low scoring kind of defensive type game.
You're the farm system for the big schools that are just going to pluck all these guys away from you. So why would you invest a lot of time in multiple high school players that you know that might actually leave and go play for somebody else? It's almost like when San Diego State in baseball, when San Diego State had Tony Gwynn as their head coach, right? His recruiting was unbelievable. He was getting all the best players in Southern California year in and year out. But the problem was all the guys that he was signing were getting drafted. There were first round, second round draft picks. They were going to go to they weren't going to college, you know. So then all of a sudden the draft happens, and then they're out like all these guys, and then they're not getting any better. So if you're like San Diego State, it's almost more beneficial instead of like trying to develop some of these players out of high school to, you know, that won't be ready for you in the first year, and they'll probably transfer in the next couple of years. So you basically are just developing them for the SECs of the world.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better for you to just pick up pieces in the transfer portal where you get some guys that were developed by these, you know, premier programs? Not to say that those programs coach better than the local programs or the smaller programs, but you know, the ones that are, you know, competing at a high level that, you know, have guys that aren't playing that go, you know what, I'm gonna use the transfer portal, I'm gonna go to a place that I can play at. Like, you know, I got the offer from Alabama. This was cool and everything, but I want to go play. You know, to me, I think that's a better level of success. So I think it's going to be very difficult for some of these high school kids to land major D1 scholarships unless they're a freak, which most of the time they usually are. And so it might be more beneficial to take a D2 spot. It might be more beneficial to go to a JC and dominate and then go. After that, or maybe you go to a group of five school and you show some tape and then you could transfer to a big school. But I could see a lot of these Power Five schools spending a lot of their resources on the free agent market, which would be the transfer portal, especially with NIL.
That's the key to NIL and the Power Five schools being able to attract athletes because of that. And so I think I agree with you in that standpoint. It is a enticing for big schools such as Alabama and Texas to go that route because you know you'll be able to entice those athletes, college athletes, after being a few years in school and wanting to transfer, that they'll have the ability to go to a school like that and, you know, with the NIL deal, you know, put themselves in a good position to not only play at a big time school, but get that money from endorsements.
We should almost be done with most of the COVID kids, right? That really just backloaded everything because all these kids have all these extra years, right?
Yes.
Which also hurts the high school kids because those kids got to go somewhere and they're not going to the draft, right? They're, you know, the ones that are using their COVID years are most likely not going to play professional football. So you got, you know, and that's why I think there's like so much parity in college football right now. But, you know, to me, with the way you look at the landscape, and we talked about the transfer portal and NIL, and you could play four games without and still use a red shirt. And I think with NIL in particular, you know, there are a lot of players that make enough money in NIL where it's better to just stay in college than it would be to go to the National Football League unless you're a first round draft pick. I mean, like, you know, Washington State's off to a great start, right, to the season. They're 4-0. You know, they got Cam Ward as their quarterback. He could come back one more time. And he's got one more year left. He's probably not an NFL quarterback. But, you know, Washington State gave him a nice little paycheck to go play there in the first place. You're a guy like Cam Ward. Why wouldn't you go back to a place like that? You know, you're the quarterback in a college town, so you're probably going to get the most money out of everything. You'd probably make more money just staying there in college instead of, like, trying to just see if you can make the National Football League, you know, why not stay? Like, you look at Max Duggan of TCU. He had one more year of eligibility left, and he wanted to go to the NFL, and, you know, that's fine, and Danny and stuff like that. I don't think he's an NFL-style quarterback. You know, I know he'll get paid a decent amount of money to be a backup in Los Angeles for the Chargers. But, like, wouldn't you think, like, that guy would get more money playing college football as an NIL deal? Like, wouldn't you want to come back and have one more year of NIL? I mean, obviously, these kids really want to just live the dream out and go to the NFL. They totally can. But, you know, I could see a lot of kids just being like, you know what? I could stay in college. Like, Caleb Williams, Jeff. Look at Caleb Williams. You know, his dad's already said if the number one team ain't the team they want to go to, he's going back to college because he can make money at USC. And he could almost handpick who he gets drafted by.
Yeah, it's a very interesting situation. And, you know, now with that, there's that element that you don't have to rush to go to the pros. Before NIL was there, you had this urgency, right? Because you didn't want to get hurt and miss out opportunity making millions and millions of dollars. But now your ability to earn income while playing football, especially at the college level, why not take advantage of that and use that to your advantage and basically kind of milk it till it's dry, so to speak, so you have to go. So I'm with you on that. It'll be interesting to see moving forward if we see more high-profile athletes stay an extra year or two rather than go early to the NFL or even an NBA or whatever sport you want to talk about just because of the financial gains that they have and opportunities they have in college.
The other thing I wanted to talk about with that, I find it very interesting. In the state of California, it is legal. Like, NIL deals are legal for high school kids. When do you think we're gonna start seeing that come about, or is that just too crazy? But I thought the same thing about colleges and all these other things, and it's said to happen. I mean, there's nothing stopping, and it's not just private schools. There's nothing stopping public schools from getting, you know, some local place to give money on NIL deals and convince kids to go to certain schools. I don't think that's happening yet, but you think it's only a matter of time, Jeff?
Typically, things trickle down. You know, we talk about, you know, NFL is big business, right? And it has been, it is currently. And now it's trickled down to college. What's college now? Big business. And I'm afraid to say it, but yes, I think with the major schools, high schools, especially with football, because how popular football is, you're going to see that trickle down to the high school level. And that's entering a slippery slope just because of the kids and their minors and things of that nature. So I don't know how that's going to be regulated and what issues that will occur from that or come from that. But would I be shocked if that happens? No, definitely not. Just because of how big football is here in America. And like I said, just copying the model what's happened from the NFL now to college. Yes, I can see a trickle-down effect that happened in high school. I mean, look at Texas. I mean, you know all about Texas, how important football is in Texas and how much, you know, alumni and you know, school boards really are invested in these schools being good and bringing in titles. But I definitely can see it in certain areas of the country where that will be implemented.
Yeah, it'd be nuts. You can literally go to any high school you want nowadays with all the rules. I mean, there's nothing keeping kids from – you could literally go to whatever high school you want. And be able to play there now, which is cool. I think you should be allowed to go whatever school you want to go to. But, you know, you add the money element into it too. And, you know, it trickles down. The last thing we need to see is like Pop Warner organizations paying for kids. It'd be ridiculous.
Hey, don't put it past us, man. You know how we are in our sports.
Like, yeah, man.
That's just, I don't want to think that, but that could be a possibility. But hopefully not. I mean, I think we have enough smart people in this field that will not allow that to happen, but you know, it's
you know, pay some money for little Gronk to play for the SD Bolts.
Oh, please don't give people ideas. That'd be a whole issue in our society. But no, certain high schools, yeah, I could see that jumping off.
Let's talk about this week. We got league play starting up. I don't think we have too many non-league games left. There's only three non-league games this week. Everybody else is in is in league play. I kind of want to go through some of these leagues, Jeff, and you can tell me who you think is most likely going to win the league. I'll do it with you with some of the main leagues here. We'll start with the Avocado League, Jeff. The Avocado League, one of the best leagues in San Diego, coming to the North County. Carlsbad, La Costa Canyon, El Camino, Mission Hills, Poway, and Torrey Pines. Who's your favorite to win that league? Who do you think could upset Carlsbad?
Well, you just mentioned them. Carlsbad, they have to be the favorite. I mean, they are the best team in the county along with Lincoln. So until I'm proven otherwise, and I think you have to go with them. They won it last year, and they basically bring all their main studs back for this year, including Sane. So I don't really expect anything to be different. If there's one team that could possibly beat them, I would say potentially El Camino. But outside of that, I just don't give anybody too much of a chance. I mean, they're gonna have some tough games, even the one tomorrow against Mission Hills because it's on the road. But assuming they get by them tomorrow, I think they'll be in a good position to take home another Avocado title.
If you talk to Carlsbad people, they say Mission Hills gives them a lot of problems. If you look at the kind of recent history of Mission Hills. I'd say they have their number, but they're usually competing very well against Carlsbad. Last year, they lost 16-10 to Carlsbad. 2021, they lost 13-7 to Carlsbad. 2019, they lost 17-7 to Carlsbad. 2018, they beat Carlsbad 24-21. And in 2017, Mission Hills beat Carlsbad 35-7. It's going to one more year, 2016, 12-7. The recurring theme there, Jeff, between Carlsbad and Mission Hills, dating back to 2016, because that was the before they stopped, when they renewed playing each other again, because they didn't play each other in 2015. All those games have been very close. Very close. I mean, last year, Carlsbad opened division, final team. They beat Mission Hills 16-10. And then the year before that, Carlsbad again, really good year, went to the Open Division Championship. They've gone to the Open Division Championship the last 2 years. And in 2021, they only beat Mission Hills by 6. So I could see that game being kind of close. And I really think Mission Hills has a good opportunity to do it. Now, if Carlsbad blows them out on Friday, that might be the best chance anybody's got at maybe taking down Carlsbad. And I like that El Camino pick as well.
Yeah, looking forward to see how Mission Hills, if they can rise up and finally get a win under the belt against Carlsbad. You just mentioned they've been close, really close the last few years. So can they finally get that upset victory at home tomorrow?
I want to move on to the Eastern League, second highest league in the City Conference. Christian, La Jolla, Point Loma, Mira Mesa, and Morse. La Jolla's got the best rating out of the group at a 5.8, followed by Mira Mesa at 4. Point Loma with a 1.4 rating. I really like La Jolla to win this conference, and I think Point Loma's got a really good shot as well.
I'm going to go with the Vikings. You know, they've been pretty solid all year. A couple of years ago, what, 2 or 3 years ago, they won their division. Division 2, if I'm not mistaken. So they've had a solid program for the last handful of seasons. I will go with the Vikings to take home that crown.
Let's go out to East County, the top league in the East County is Grossmont Hills League. They'll start action this weekend. As we already mentioned, they actually started today, with Helix playing West Hills. Now, this league, Jeff, has been four teams the last 3 or 4 years, and all of a sudden, or at least in the Grossmont Conference, where you have two different leagues, one league had four teams, the other league, I think, had like seven teams or something ridiculous, and the Grossmont Hills League was having some trouble finding some football games because they had to schedule seven non-league games. I mean, that's tough to put together. So they made a compromise. They added a couple teams to the league. They added Santana West Hills, the two Santee schools. And Helix already got, it looks like they're in control of game one. They were projected to win 62-0, according to Cal Preps. They're almost well on their way to accomplishing that. Top team, according to rating,
Helix at 48.7, followed by Granite Hills at 41.4. I think it's a toss-up between the two. I'd have to go with Tradition and the Highlanders. Is there anybody else that might be able to upset the apple cart on the top two teams in that league?
One-word answer, no.
I don't think so either.
It's a two-team race, and pretty much that game between Granite Hills and Helix is going to determine a lot. Going to determine, I think, the league winner is also going to determine the spot for the open division playoffs. So at this moment, I give a slight edge to Helix, but won't be surprised when bit of Granite Hills is able to pull off the win. Do you know where that game is at by any chance? Is
it the Granite Helix game?
Yeah,
off the top. You'll be hearing some bagpipes out in La Mesa.
Oh, there you go. There you go. That's going to be must see TV, man.
Actually, I lied. That looks like the Granite schedule. That'll be in El Cajon. It'll be at Granite Hills High School. So Granite's got the home game there. Games this weekend in the Grossmont Hills League. Helix is at West Hills. That is currently a blowout. Granite's at Santana tomorrow, and Grossmont's at Steel Canyon. Granite's expected to win 48-0, and Steel Canyon's expected to beat Grossmont 44-21. If I had to pick a school that could hang tough, it'd be Steel, but Steel's kind of down this year, so it might be tough sledding for them. Other league I wanted to talk about, let's get to the Metro League. That'd be the Metro Mesa League. They're not in action this weekend. Everybody's got their bye in the Metro Mesa League. That would be Modern Day Catholic and Bonita Vista, Otay Ranch, and Eastlake, the top league down in the South Bay. Number one team in there is Modern Day. Number two team is the Eastlake Titans. I would imagine you would pick Modern Day to win this league. Do you think Eastlake could upset Modern Day at all?
Much as I want to say yes and be a bias and a homer and a proud alumni, my Titans, no. They have not shown me anything this year, what I've heard, what I've seen, that will give me any confidence that they can go and beat Modern Day. I don't care if it's at Eastlake. I don't care if it's at Modern Day. I don't think they have the horses. So even though Modern Day lost a lot last year, you know, we've chronicled that multiple times over the course of the podcast. They still got a lot of talent, and I think they'll have enough talent to win that league fairly easily. I mean, and you know, you never know what things could happen, but I think at the end of the day, they will roll through the Metro League and win another title.
I think so too. They're going to run the table. I mean, they're favored mightily in their next four games. The only team that's close to them is Eastlake with a 4.3 rating. They're going to run the table and be 6-3. They're only playing nine games this year on the season. So really tough non-league schedule. Went 2-3 during that, which I think is very impressive. They went 1-2 against the Western League. They went 0-1 against the Avocado League, and then they went 1-0 against the Eastern League. But I think they'll probably finish the season 6-3, and they'll be right there looking at a first round bye potentially in Division One based on the way they scheduled their opponents this year. So hats off to John Joyner and company down at Modern Day. Palomar League, which is always an interesting league up in the North County, is the number two league in the North County, and there's a lot of interesting teams in this league because they did the reshuffle. Poway is no longer part of the Palomar League. We mentioned them in the Avocado League. They got bumped up. A couple of teams from the Avocado League got bumped down. One to this league in San Marcos. So they're down into the Palomar League. But Del Norte, Fallbrook, Rancho Bernardo, San Marcos, Mount Carmel, and Ramona. Call this league the NFL League. Jeff, you got so many former NFL players that are coaching teams in this league.
Yeah, that's brings a lot of excitement having all those teams or all those former NFL players now coaches. So excited. We have a big game tomorrow. Isn't it Del Norte and Rancho play tomorrow?
Rancho Bernardo is at Del Norte, correct?
Yeah, so you got Weddle versus Barnett. Who do you like in that one? I'm going to say Del Norte. They're at home. I feel they get a slight edge and win that game.
I like Del Norte too. They're favored to win 21-13. I think they're a little bit better than Rancho Bernardo. But again, to talk about this league, Del Norte's head coach Nick Barnett played in the NFL. Rancho Bernardo's head coach Eric Weddle, of course, we know played in the NFL. Mount Carmel's head coach, Drew Wessling, quarterback at San Diego State, and then Ramona's head coach. Remember, Damon Baldwin played in the National Football League as well for a little bit, also played at San Diego State. Got a lot of experience on this in this league when it comes to coaches, and that's not even to mention Coach Carroll at San Marcos, which is a well-run program right now. As he tries to transition San Marcos back to what they were a couple of years ago. So very, very good league. Del Norte right now is the favorite at 21.1 as their Cal Preps rating, followed by San Marcos at 9.6. I think Del Norte wins this league, but this opening game is going to be a tough one for him against Rancho Bernardo. I think Eric Weddle and company is going to give them everything they got.
Sounds like it's going to be a low-scoring kind of defensive-type game. I don't expect a high-scoring affair there, especially with the pedigree of the two coaches. But, yes, I do think Del Norte wins, and I think they win the league this year.
Got a linebacker going against a safety, Jeff. Linebacker going against a safety. It's going to be a lot of – yeah, any points scored, both coaches are going to get really upset. They want to see a Big Ten battle tomorrow between RB and Del Norte. I got Del Norte to win this league, though. Is that who you got?
Yes.
Should be a fun league, and a fun league to watch. Last league we're going to talk about would be the Western League. Is always voted the best league in San Diego, up there with the Avocado League. One of the best. It's led by the Lincoln Hornets. Lincoln this year, obviously one of the best teams in the county. Saints, Madison Cathedral, University City. All top teams in San Diego. University City, obviously, with a very tough schedule this year, and they drew the short stick of being the fifth team in the city conference that had to play in this league. But you're going to have some battles out there, Jeff. Lincoln, Saints, Madison Cathedral, these are all teams that throw the records out. They're going to be some tough games for everybody in this league. I would imagine Lincoln probably wins this league, but I think it's going to be a huge battle for the way that this league plays out. And if anybody's able to get Lincoln, that really opens the door for really any school to win this league. And there might be a situation if Lincoln loses one game, you might have some co and tri champions in the Western League.
Yeah, a lot of talent in this league, a lot of good, solid teams. Obviously, Lincoln's the top of the class as of now. I mean, they got a gauntlet, you know, where they have to play Madison, Saints, and Cathedral 3 weeks in a row. That's not easy. That's not easy for any team. So, you know, we talked about it. If they're able to get through that unscathed, undefeated, you know, if they're not number one in the county by then, they definitely will be after that slate. But from what I've seen and what we've talked about, you have to give the edge to Lincoln. I think they are determined to try to repeat as open division champions. They have a very balanced squad. They have a lot of talent, you know, on the skill position. Defensively, they're very sound. Look at the way they've played thus far outside the league. Just don't see a scenario. They might get some competition from Cathedral maybe and possibly Madison. But I think at the end of the day, Lincoln's going to be too much for any of those teams.
I agree. I think Lincoln is the team to beat, definitely in the Western League, and I think it's by far. And if anybody could get them, then you better watch out for them trying to sneak into the open division playoffs. So that's kind of a little quick preview of the league setup. Let's go quickly roll through some games here with some league play. Carlsbad at Mission Hills starting up tomorrow. Carlsbad's got an 86% chance to win. They're favored by 16 against Mission Hills. I think Carlsbad wins, but I think Mission Hills makes it a close game.
Based on history, I would tend to agree with you about Mission Hills, but I have a little sneaky feeling Carlsbad's able to get them by about 17-20. So I'm going to go contrarian there and think Carlsbad pulls away in the second half.
Torrey Pines at El Camino. El Camino is expected to win 31-19. They got a 77% chance of winning. I think El Camino wins. I think they cover their spread there.
I agree with you, man. Like we talked about, El Camino has been pretty impressive the last couple of weeks. They've kind of blown out teams, haven't been close. So I'm with you on that. I think they roll again.
Interesting game in the Eastern League. Top two teams, according to Cal Prep's ratings, Mira Mesa going to La Jolla to take on the Vikings. Vikings are favored to win. by 1 point. They are favored by one. 21-20 is the expected final between La Jolla and Mira Mesa. Gives them a 53% chance to win against the Marauders. I think the Vikings pull it off in the coin flip game.
This game in La Jolla?
The game is in La Jolla, yes.
Interesting. Well, you know, La Jolla had a tough game against Scripps, and then Mira Mesa beat Scripps. So I can see why that's going to be a coin flip type of game. I go with La Jolla. I think they do enough to squeak by the team from Mira Mesa.
Scrolling through some games here. Ranch Bernardo at Del Norte. We just kind of briefly talked about this game. Del Norte has an 8-point advantage against Ranch Bernardo. I think Del Norte wins, but Ranch Bernardo might be a little bit closer than 8 points.
20-14 Del Norte. That's my
20-14. How about that 6-point win for the Nighthawks up there in the Forest Ranch area? Ramona at Mount Carmel, interesting game. Ramona's expected to win 35-26, a 9-point advantage for Ramona. Game is not on the mountain. It's in Penasquitos.
I know Mount Carmel had a very good year last year. Was very impressed with what they did. Not as good as they were last year. So I would agree. I think Ramona gets them, and I think they win by 10.
Lincoln will go over to the Claremont area to take on Madison. Lincoln's expected to win 44-6 over the Warhawks. It is over a 99% chance of beating Madison on Friday night. Do you think Madison makes it closer than that?
Man, Madison, they didn't look good last week against the Grand Hills. I mean, that game wasn't even close. That was probably done by the second quarter. So they're struggling with Granite. Do they mostly, can they bounce back, not only emotionally, but do they have the ability tactically to keep up with Lincoln? Doesn't seem like it. I know Madison's been a strong program the last, 3 to 5 years, but I think Lincoln just continues to roll, man. They seem like they're on a mission, and they've been blowing teams out. I don't think tomorrow will be any different.
And that'll be the wrap of the game picks. Jeff, always great talking to you on the podcast, on the spaces. Everybody that's tuned in, make sure you check out partletonsports.com. Check out calpreps.com if you want to see where your team is rated. Should be a fun weekend of high school football, Jeff. I'm looking forward to it. If anybody missed out on anything we talked about, you can replay the spaces right here on Twitter /X, whatever you want to call it. Or you could tune in to the podcast, which will be posted up tomorrow morning on 97 through the Fan's website or wherever you get your podcasts. We will have that up there for you. I'm looking forward to a good high school football league weekend. Jeff, it's league play. I'm excited. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, man. Have a good weekend, Braden.
All right. I'll do it for us. Talk to you next week, Jeff.
All right, Braden. Thanks, man.